Looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start at verse 1, but I'm really aiming at verses, way down the line, verses 15 and 16, which speaks of the Christ being the head of the body. But just for connection's sake, we'll read the whole portion through. Could we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we thank Thee again for Your wonderful love to us. As we sang, all that thrills our soul is Thy Son, O Lord Jesus Christ. We ask of Thee, O Father, as we read Your word that speaks, which speaks of Him, that we may be moved to think on His majesty and to love Him and to live for Him. Bless us here at Bellevue. I remember Thy people wherever they're gathered. Help them, O God, to know the joy of fellowship with You as they face even the challenges of this life. Comfort them, strengthen them, and make their lives blessings, that in all things Your name might be glorified. We ask these things with thanksgivings in the name of Thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another with love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, till we henceforth be not more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his word, as he's promised. In our discussions on the Lord Jesus Christ being the head of the church, we looked firstly at his being the chief shepherd or the great shepherd. Then we began to consider the last time on this area three aspects of his headship to the church as found in Ephesians. We saw that he referred to the head of the body in which, by which he compared the husband and the wife. Then we considered also the last time the fact that he is head above all things in chapter 1. There's no one like him. Unassailable in his holiness. He's above all things. Where his power, his love, his righteousness, he's above all. And this one is our head. We consider the fact that people are very proud when they can be associated with a president or a governor or the CEO of your corporation. But guess what? We are in touch with the highest, both in this time and in the world to come. The end of, you could find that in, again in Ephesians 1. It should fill our hearts with joy. It should give us confidence. The number one, the real number one, is our head. We considered then, very quickly, a number of things. Distant past, which is really eternity past. And we traced his life down to earth when he voluntarily became man, voluntarily went to the cross to die for our sins, whereof the Father lifted him up and gave him a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow. We also saw that he had a special job, as we speak it twice in John chapter 5, the job of judging the world. And that job was given to him as Son of God, John 5 and 22. And later on, he mentioned that he had the job of executing judgment because he was the Son of Man. And that is fully brought out. Even though now he judges, then when he comes in on at the Battle of Armageddon, he will judge the ungodly world and yet give a break. But finally, when there's that final rebellion, before the white throne judgment, he shall judge the world when Satan finally be cast from the bottomless pit into the lake of fire, and all with him whose names are not written in the book of life. It's at that point, 1 Corinthians 15 will be fulfilled, when the Son, who was the Word, who was with God, who was God, became flesh and took on this responsibility from God, shall hand everything back to God, that God may be all in all. And in Revelation, as Revelation 5 and in 22, you find the throne of God and of the Lamb. God, there is no need for the Son, but the Lord is the light of the world and light of the temple. And so is the Son. God is the temple himself, and so is the Son, the Lamb. He's one now with the Father. In the beginning, eternity past, he was with God. In eternity to come, he will show himself to be God. And this is the whole truth. That one, and what blows my mind, is that one is our head. We've got another dimension here. That one who planned all things. In Colossians chapter 2, we find His holiness is extended to His wisdom. The end of verse 2 of Colossians 2 and rest of 3 says, Christ, God the Father, God and the Father of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He knows all things, past, present, future. In wrapped up in Him, He is the Alpha and Omega. It's all wisdom, all knowledge, all wrapped up in Jesus. But what is also amazing is in this wisdom, in the church, the head was pleased to use His church as a means of making manifest some aspects of His wisdom. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. As a matter of fact, let me go back to verse 7 just as I'm aiming at 10. But look at verse 7 just to follow up. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is given this grace that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make known and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifested wisdom of God. In this church, His church, the wisdom of God should be made manifest. And there's so much that we can learn, that the angels are learning from us. You know, it's an amazing thing that God should consider the church like a body. Some years ago, Brother Clem spoke on Psalm 139, and recently Brother Andrew did too. But one of the verses there that filled me is when it said that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. We can't fathom even ourselves, and scientists are still learning about us, about themselves. Only in recent years they found out something called a DNA. I don't quite understand all about it, but a little bit I understand it. Within the cell, there is that simple record of everything about us. And in every cell in the body, the same thing is repeated and repeated. And I am amazed. How could David have written this way back in Psalm 139 when he's pointed out there? He said, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret, verse 15 I'm reading, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members had written, which in continuance were fashioned when there were yet none of them. Everything written down. God knows all about us. And we are still learning about Him. And the reason I'm saying this is that this body of ours is just a picture of how God works for us and his wisdom is being made manifest in the church. The verse we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and I think of 16, Christ, the head of the church. The head of the church. And the next verse says there what? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'm thrilled at this. What God does to show us. I recall a message I heard somewhere in the early 1960s. I don't remember the points, all of them, but three things stuck in my head. By the same brother who I said, Brother King, who said at a question time, I pointed out, he said, we used to wear clothes to cover. Many years he said this. But people wear clothes to uncover rather than to cover. Modesty is gone. He was emphasizing the importance of modesty. Let us not fall into that category, to wear clothes to uncover. But this brother, looking at this verse, said three things about it. And in this I've had to go to school to understand what he said. He said, the verse speaks of the body. First, the first thing about the body there, it is holding together. Holding together. He spoke of it there, being fitly joined together. And he called that cohesion. Then he spoke of the body moving together. And he called it coordination. And lastly, from that verse, he said the body working together and the church, and he called it cooperation. I hope it sticks in your memory as it did in mine all these years. So this is what it says. And it's important for us to hold to the head. Just holding to the head. Not causing division. And this is important. How can we hold to the head to be one? Loving one another. I like if Colossians chapter 2 touches on this point. Philippians chapter 2. I apologize to you. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Verse 3 now, Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each esteem each other better than themselves. Holding together. One mind. Holding on to Jesus, the head. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 says, only by pride comes contention. You have problems? Only by pride, the wise man said, we get contention. But when we focus on the Lord, holding on to the truth of God's word, it removes that which causes division. We've got to watch it though. I often think that as Jesus walked the earth, if you read the Gospel of St. John in particular, he had to be solving problems of people who didn't agree with him. Throughout the Gospel of St. John, addressing issues. And if you read the epistles, whether you're reading Romans or you're going through Ephesians or what have you, their conflicts, Colossians, He is solving problems. People are saying strange things. And he's telling them, hold on to the truth. Don't move. Writing to Timothy, he addressed this same question. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just look at this verse too. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said to young Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which are in Jesus Christ. Hold on to the form of sound words. Then another young man, Titus. I said young man, he's probably a big guy. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful words which he had been taught. Speaking of elders there. He's been taught that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. Each one of us has the responsibility of knowing God's word, holding to the head, knowing what God says. Because if we don't know, people tell us anything. You read in Ephesians, we must not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. We must hold on to the truth. We must know it. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 is very direct in the way he said it. Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brothers, mark them that cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrines or the teachings which you have learned, and avoid them. It's important for us to know the truth. Young, old, brethren, sisters, every one of us, we must know the truth and purpose in our hearts to hold on to Jesus, the head. Fitly framed together. Cohesion. A couple more verses. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2 is indeed wonderful, but I'm aiming at verses 18 and 19. Please read the whole. You have two things there. Body is used twice. Body is used in verse 17 and body is used in verse 19. Body in verse 17 has the connotation of substance, reality. Body in verse 19 indeed reflects what we think a real body. Anyway, reading verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which are not, which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by fleshly the mind, his fleshly mind, not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. These people got so spiritual as they thought that they were worshipping angels and considered it special to worship angels. But today, you might hear people saying, I'm worshipping this angel. It's a demon. Some people do say, I got a special revelation from something that appeared to me and told me this or told me that. Many religions are found on such things. Things that appear to be, and told me this, or told me that. Remember this particular portion. But also remember, two verses found in Revelation. Revelation, a couple of verses, rather, I think each one is Revelation 19. And then Revelation 22. And see what the three real angels do. Real angels don't attract to themselves, but they point to the Lord Jesus, to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9 for the sake of it. And he, an angel, said unto me, blessed are they that write and are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are true and faithful, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Worship God. This same scene is repeated in Revelation 22. Let's look at it again. Verses 8 and 9. 22, 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me all these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Don't bow down to me. Bow down to God. Do you think that after John the Apostle had seen this and heard this twice, he, John, would have had people bow down to him? Yet today, we have people who God hasn't delegated headship of the church to anybody, but people are saying things. We got to hold to the head according to Colossians chapter 2. Worship the head. And hold together because of truth. Hold together. Hold together. Sometimes holding may mean gently talking to somebody. It may mean warning somebody. It may mean different things. But the whole purpose of it all is to bring us all and keep us all together. Do whatever you have to do. With love. And with humility. The second thought this brother mentioned, and this one caused some problems if you look at that chapter in Ephesians. Well, Ephesians 2 and 60. Ephesians 4, I apologize to you. That's why I can't find it. Ephesians 4 and 16 was, how did he say moving together? I saw easily holding together, and I saw easily working together. But moving together was a problem. Then I looked at the word supplieth. And the word supplieth in the Greek is epikoria. Epi, you know very well, epidemic, epidermis. It comes from choreo. And choreo, in its real meaning in the Greek, means a dance leader. Does it remind you of anything?
The word we use more easily is choreograph. You see? The art of planning people dancing to music. That means you've got to know how to arrange it so they can move smoothly. That's the root word for it. And this is the idea here, that we must not only hold together, but with our responsibilities, we must move together. And he picked the body for this, you know. Think of a simple act, how our body is so choreographed. You're taking a fork and put something in your mouth. Simple act. My shoulder is involved. My elbow is involved. My wrist is involved. The joints of my fingers are involved. And they've got to move together. I can't hold my hand, my shoulder stiff and expect the food to reach my mouth. Everything must be coordinated. And then when it goes to my mouth, my jaw gets involved. And then the process continues and repeats. And everything in the body that we do works like that. And the church should work like that. A simple thing for the church now. I give a calendar or give a tract out to somebody. That tract is given out. And we rejoice we're giving a tract out to somebody that they may trust Christ. But Brother Jim ordered them, selected them, and got them here. Somebody wrote them. Somebody else printed them. Somebody else financed it. And everything working like that. The assembly works like that at a local assembly. But the church at large works like that. Each one working together, not getting into each other's way, but working in unison, moving together for the glory of God. Then we must be working together. I like that. You can develop that as you will. See, time's going. I like the reference to the body found in 1 Corinthians 12. When Paul, in writing to the saints there by the Spirit of God, referred to the various parts of the body, each one having a particular job. Let me just step back a bit, forgive me. On this question of supply, look at one verse for me. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, where the same word is used. And see how coordination fits in that thinking. Let's go to verse 15. I'm aiming at verse 19. Some preach Christ indeed, even of envy and strife, some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set at the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice. And yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. The way the Spirit will work things out. Not the Spirit just, he has the Spirit. He had the Spirit. It wasn't a case of receiving the Spirit of God. He had possessed the Spirit. But the way the Spirit will work, Your prayer and God working will bring about this glorious salvation of which he spoke, deliverance. So we've got it there, holding together, moving together, and working together as pictured in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what I like about the wisdom of God in all of this, as he pointed out in 1 Corinthians 12, every part of the body of Christ, every saint in this assembly, young or old, everyone is important and is to be used by God in some way to bring glory to God. We must be cooperating. We must be working and working together. God wants this. And we can go on talking about this several times, but you know it. Ask God. If you don't know what to do, get before God. Talk to the elders. Talk to a brother. There is something to do. And I remember Brother Brian saying that one of the greatest abilities is what? Availability. Be willing to do what you're asked. Don't try to find an excuse to escape it, to stay far. Be willing to do. There's a hole in the dike, block it until somebody comes. God wants us to do this. The purpose of this working together, the purpose of chapter verse 16, these things I mentioned in verse 16, the whole purpose of it is stated in the last sentence, that the whole body may increase, that the whole body might be edified. Your learning God's word is to be a blessing to somebody else. It's not for you alone. It's not for me alone. God wants us to read and to study and to share. God wants us to humbly do so, not with pride, not with anger. It's not a question to make my point. I'm studying just to make a point that you can't tell me anything. That's not the idea of studying God's word. The studying of God's word is that we all may be built up. Built up. And in that very same, in that chapter, chapter 4, this is mentioned before. Look at the same thing in verse 12. The gifts given to the church. The gifts given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's the work. That's the part. Edifying itself. But did you notice one of the small points in closing? Verse 15 started a very important thought. And verse 16 ends on that note. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love. Verse 16 says, edifying itself in love. That is the ruling thing. As we mix with each other, we have to ask God to help us to really love one another. Really love one another. As we so do, God will use you, God will use each one of us in ways many to bring glory to God's name. I can't fathom God, that God should take creatures like us, absolutely no good, sinners in the darkest dye, loved us, devised a means of taking himself, coming into the form of flesh, to die for my sins, to die for our sins. And having done that, he invites us to come and trust him, and makes us his own, brings us into this marvelous relationship called the church, and then uses us in ways many to bring glory to God's name. It's only the unsurpassable wisdom of God that His manifested, His manifested wisdom should be made manifest in His church. I thank God for His love, that He loved each one of us. We praise Him. And as we just get back to this word, we'll keep looking at Christ as the head. There's no one like Him, as great, as wise, as loving, as gracious as He is. And He reaches down to you and to me and draws us to Himself that we may be like Him forever. Let's pray. Father, again we thank You because You're wonderful. As we think how great and how good You are, we just bow before You in worship because we don't deserve the blessings that You pour upon us. We do not sometimes understand all that we go through, but every act of pain or pleasure is intended for Your glory and our good. Teach us to love You and to wait in You and to do Your bidding in small ways and great. Help us, O Father, truly to hold together as moved by Thy Spirit. Help us, O God, to move together as directed by the head. Help us, O God, to work together that in all things Your name might be glorified. And we tell You thanks, for we ask these things in the name of Thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. Tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and with the church victorious. And the church victorious shall be the church at rest. The church's one foundation.
Oh, church.